football on Off the Ball.
You know, what he did for the club, he changed the trajectory of it completely. But Thomas Frank, I'm loving the Thomas Frank era. I'm having a great time.
You were sceptical initially.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
League of Ireland football.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's 88 people currently in this space, and they're the most patient 88 people on the feckin' planet, so they are for sticking with us through all that. But listen, we are up and running. Thank you very much for sticking with us for tonight's Late Night League of Ireland, and what a night in the League of Ireland it has been. As you've heard, we're joined by Johnny Ward, as ever, and the latest League of Ireland head out of Off the Ball.
Yeah, delighted to be here, Shane, as always.
Great stuff. Johnny, I'm assuming you took the opportunity with your boys over in Inchicore.
Shane, you're just dropping in and out there.
You heard me. You can hear me, Ben, can you?
I can hear you, Johnny. Yeah, you're okay.
Yeah, so I heard the gist of Shane's question. Yeah, I went to the game. It was kind of, like, obviously it's a bit weird 5 days later playing the team, same ground, a game that has different kind of... different motivations for both teams. So United would have thought a point would have been a bonus territory tonight, whereas obviously the cup was a knockout competition that we wanted to win or whatever. But it was different today as well. There was a big, like, so much rain on all day in Dublin. So the pitch was greasy, and it did play a factor. Luke Turner, who had a big role to play in the game, he mistimed a back pass that really Patrick Hickey should have scored from. Chris Forrester slides in then and takes down David Hurley, who came on at half time for the penalty. And then Jay McClellan, who's been very good, like, in recent games that I've seen for Pats, he gets a goal that kind of goes through Buckley's legs. It was a strange game in ways, because United will feel that maybe Patrick Hickey's handball decision by Rob Harvey to give a free when it was a goal for United to go 2-1 up was harsh. I'd have to watch that back again, but I think ultimately...
I think we just lost you there towards the end, Johnny. Johnny just explaining Pat's 1-1 draw with Galway out in Richmond Park. Obviously, vastly different from last Sunday. Shane, did you catch any match tonight yourself? Obviously, your old side, Galway.
Just double-checking whether you can hear me okay there now, Ben.
Yeah,
pulled out the headphones all together. We'll go old style here, so we will. I was the same. I was watching the game on TV,
even though it was in front of me. Sorry, Shane. There was a fracas between somebody from the United dugout and some of the Pats fans, but I'd have to watch that back and see what happened.
Yeah, I think was it Alan Murphy that was shown a red card and Graham Byrne?
It could have been, yeah. I actually didn't fully see it, so I was just kind of, I suppose, filing my match for the end. But I some of the Pats fans were definitely a little bit up in arms, so I'd have to watch it back.
Yeah, the FAI Connect app was throwing out cards all over the place. How accurate that is, I'm not 100% sure. Did David Hurley get sent off in injury time, Johnny?
Yeah, so David Hurley got sent off for a kind of a wide lunge on Levy that maybe some people would say was a yellow, but I think it was a red because it was just a stupid tackle. He didn't really go for the ball. It was just a really costly red card because it was effectively the last moment in the game, and that means he's out for the Sligo game Monday.
Yeah, that is a massive point. Yeah, I'm looking at the same. Looking at the connect here, Alan Murphy on the Galway bench, Graham Byrne, two fellas I know very, very well, and two fiery characters. So I wouldn't be surprised if they came head to head, maybe in some capacity. Given the stop-start nature of things for us here tonight, I suppose I better just give the full run through the results. So, Bowes, the massive winner of the night, with all 10 teams playing tonight, Bowes the only ones to pick up 3 points with a 2-1 win at home to Waterford. Cork with a late equaliser, an absolute screamer to make it 1-1 against Shamrock Rovers. Derry at home to Shelburne, another 1-1 draw. You're going to pick up on a bit of a trend here. St. Pat's at home to Galway, another 1-1 draw. And Sligo Rovers at home to Drogheda, yet another 1-1 draw. In the first division, again, we had similar score lines in 3 of 4 games, but a lot more exciting. Bray at home to Finn Harps, a big win for Bray, winning that one 3-2. Treaty United at home to Athlone Town, again, the home team coming through 3-2. And for the third game in a row, another 3-2. Wexford at home to Cove Ramblers, this time derailing Cove's attempts to try and rail in Dundalk. And our final scoreline from the First Division, UCD with a 2-1 win at home to Kerry. Ben, Bowes, very, very much the big winners out of tonight.
Yeah, huge win for them. When you look at literally every other game ending in a 1-1 draw, it's kind of put a bit of a gap, hasn't it, between themselves and Derry are there on 50 points. There's a 7-point gap to that kind of Shells. Pathstraw had a bunch behind them. Also, I think Bowes would be looking at it going, Rovers and Pats, probably the favourites to take on the Cup. Europe is going to stretch out, obviously, to the four if that is the case. Like, it's a huge chance for Bowes now to get back into Europe after kind of a long gap away. For a club of their standards, and if they don't kind of pick up on it from here, they'll be very, very disappointed if they don't capitalize on it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Look, absolute quality goals tonight. Across so many of the games, I don't know if people have had a chance to watch the goals back after the live game or whether they've seen them online. But we did have one goal, unfortunately, that doesn't quite fall into the category of screamer. Johnny, have you seen the Stephen McMullen error yet in goal for Waterford?
I have, yeah. I was sitting beside Dan McDonald at the game in Inchcore, and Dan was pretty much the modern media personified. He had 5 tabs open on Chrome, so like when the goal was going in, you could kind of sometimes this doesn't suit me at all when I don't want to know the score of a game or like, but you're getting scores kind of before they happen, and like obviously it's a little bit delayed, but the goals are coming in, and that was one of those where, oh God, yeah, who'd want to be a goalkeeper like?
Well, look, arguably the biggest game of the night was Derry Shells. We've no better man than Shane Kennedy to jump in on that one for us and give us his opinion on it. Whether he travelled all the way up to Derry, he'll have to let us know. Shane, are you there?
Just gonna turn on me maps now for a second, then I get torn down by someone else.
good man. Well, fill us in, Shane. What kind of game was it?
It's the usual scrappy game on that pitch. Derry kind of started well, and Depot was a big change at half time. He pulled up with his hamstring just before the half time, and they came out in the second half and they kind of missed him. I thought his physicality up front at the first time, I think I've seen them live. He's an absolute handful, that lad. It was a very scrappy game. That pitch doesn't allow you to play really anything. Bang actually played right centre back for us tonight for the first time, probably just to match the quality, and he kind of fed. We were terrified of Duffy though, like we were absolutely petrified of him. At one stage in the first half, Dickie played right wing back, and both Dickie and Bang went with Duffy in the inside and left, I think it was Fleming left wing back, completely free, because like, the two of them just wanted to go at Duffy. Like, we were absolutely petrified of him. And it was like we just set up to just stop him playing, but
Did he give you reason to be petrified of him, like?
No, I suppose when he plays off Depot, or if it's a break of ball, like every time we went long in the first half, like we just, Meepo doesn't have that mentality of his nearly namesake, like, you know, it's easier to say that instead of getting the names confused. but he doesn't have the same, so the balls are coming back up front, and we'd had Ali Cute and Hage up there. And they just were feeding off second balls, and then Duffy gets in the pockets. Like Derry were good, but we just looked like a team that we went from playing Monday or Thursday, Sunday every week nearly, and travelling Europe to barely playing a match. And you could see we have a game on Monday where I don't know if Derry do they?
I think everybody out Monday, no, maybe not. Well,
no, Derry aren't out on Monday, Shane.
It's the Cup, it's the money. Anyone who was playing against the Cup team, and think Derry and Farrell, that, so.
You're right, I see 4 games rather than 5. Shane, I don't know which end of the ground you were in, but how good was the combination play for your equaliser?
It was decent, wasn't it? I didn't see, so hard to see from the back end of whatever happens on the opposite end of the pitch. I thought, this is where, like, knowing your players, like, I thought Brian Maher was very poor for that goal. Like, McInerney is no right foot, and he expects, like, a big whack of a shot, like, and he just parries it straight out. The shot was never going to be very hard. Like, McEnroy, I never, like, stood up. You know when you get a chance and you get off your seat? I knew McEnroy was never going to score. I just thought Maher was a bit poor for that. I don't know if you've seen it back.
Yeah, I thought, when you say it like that, I need to watch it with those kind of lenses on. My first thoughts on it were, I thought he showed great instincts to get a hand up and block it, and that he was unfortunate to have a rebound in. But listen, like you say, maybe if there wasn't a huge amount of power in it, maybe he could have done a little bit.
Sometimes the defender clears it, and now that's annihilated, but I suppose when a striker taps it in, you kind of look at it a bit deeper.
Yeah, and what do you reckon now, like, it as Ben was saying, like, it's a 7-point gap, but you do have two games in hand on the tool.
Monday is obviously make or break. Didn't win tonight because I don't know where we play them. Like, I was looking at the fixtures, I couldn't know where we put the game in. And played in the league was over, you might have said, I offer anything or what do you like? So obviously, they're still in the mix.
Shane, the old reception isn't wonderful. You mustn't be too far down the road yesterday, so we'll probably keep it a bit shorter with you this week. But fair play for jumping on and filling us in.
No problem at all, guys. Cheers.
Chat to you. Good luck.
He is a proper fan, Shane.
Sorry? What did you say? He's a proper fan.
He's a proper fan, yeah. Like, it's a fair effort to, like, to go from Dublin to Derry for a Friday night. He travels, like, back in the day I used to go to nearly, I pretty much went to every Galway Knights game for a couple of seasons, but it takes some effort for a fella like that, and he's in fairness to him, he's spot on with what he says much of the time as well.
Absolutely. No, listen, he's been, he's given us some stellar contributions over the course of this season, that's for sure. We'll jump to another request here. I think John... Oh, or is John after disappearing on me just as I was looking to approve him? Can you hear me, John? No, I think we might have lost him. John, come back.
Sorry, lads, I can only hear you.
There you are. How are you keeping?
I'm good, thanks, Harry.
Not too bad now at all. John, a late equaliser for City, but what an absolute cracker it was.
Yeah, in fairness, delighted now.
Was that not bad goalkeeping? No, I was only watching on my phone. Is that not a goal that should have been saved?
Did it take a deflection, John? He did seem rooted to the spot. Normally, you only see keepers kind of rooted to the spot in that sense when it's changed direction on them. What was your thoughts from where you saw it?
So, from what I heard, it kind of did take a deflection, yeah. Now, I'll be honest, lads, I'm famous for being the armchair fan of LOI talk. So, I'm not too... So, I wasn't actually at the game, unfortunately. But, I'm fairly sure from what I heard, it did take a fairly big deflection. But, look, who cares? From our perspective, I made a fairly bold claim on our podcast this week that we'll win the FAI Cup. I'll just let that sit for a minute.
Well, there was a funny moment at the end of the game on Sunday in Inchicore when... I was out kind of hovering around to get interviews or whatever on the pitch, and there was this big roar from this bunch of Pats fans in the stands, and obviously, you know, they didn't get Shamrock Rovers. So I said, all right, who do they get? Cork City away? And I said, like, absolutely no guarantee they'll win that the way City are playing.
Well, thank you, Danny, and I agree. I think we're in great form at the moment, you know, and the fact that it's a home would give you some hope. Now, look, it's a huge ask, like... you know, you assume Rovers beat Kerry with all due respect to Kerry. Now, look, you'd never know. Kerry have something about them in the cup. So then that's an unbelievable challenge. But even getting through St. Pat's at home is going to be a massive challenge. But I don't know. I just feel like this bit of form, you know, hopefully Matthew Murray will be back. And, like, Jesus, he's some player. Like, I could go on forever about him. You know, I just have a feeling, you know, that it's possible, there's hope. But tonight, it's, to be honest, lads, the result isn't actually much good to us when we look at other results like Sligo and Galway both drew. But just the heart, I think what counts isn't what City fans are appreciating, is the heart that we're showing to sort of, you know, give a real fight and a real account of ourselves towards the end of the season. It would give you hope that next year, even if it isn't the first division, would be much better. But obviously, I'm saying this every week, I don't want to be repeating myself, but it's just so important that we succession plan for the next time we go up, I suppose. And that's not being arrogant, first division or anything like that, but, you know, history says that we kind of tend to go up straight away, you know, but it's very important that we get it right this next time. I suppose third time lucky, you could say, because we've been down twice now in the last kind of 10 years, you know what I mean? I think, John,
the result itself, John, was this a smash and grab, or were they decent tonight? Were they value for a point, or what was the overall performance like?
As I say now, I was only really following through Twitter, but it seems like they were well deserving of a point, because it was only now my friend kind of told me that you know, Rovers score about the hour mark, and he kind of said that goal was coming. You know, but to be 0-0 at half time with Rovers, you know, how Rovers been this season is quite an achievement. And
well, what was the Rory Gaffney miss about? That's one thing, even watching it six times, I couldn't figure out how he missed.
Yeah, I suppose, look, Gaffney is, he was a bit of a panic boy this year when they had, then at the start of the year when they were so short of options up front, wasn't he? And, like, is Michael Noonan injured at the moment or something that he wasn't playing? Or I'm not sure. And I mean,
no, I think Noonan is he's just using, obviously, he's using the two of them. But like, Gaffney's right. Done really well since he's come back. It was a weird one. It was at the back post and he had an open goal. And I actually just couldn't figure out what happened. But it kind of, the ball seemed to somehow, against like all laws of gravity, seems to come back out rather than in.
Yes, yeah. I'd have to watch back the highlights now. But no, it's not a. It's, but look, I don't think Rovers have much to be worried about. Like, there, it's at the end of the day, it's always the turn is crossed, whatever people want to say. Like, it's a tough place to go. I still see them winning the league fairly convincingly. But I will say that if they make it into the final, of course, whether it's St. Pat's or Cork City, I think they do have a fierce battle in their hands for the FAI Cup if they want that cup double. I think both sides would give them a real tough game, like, to be honest, you know.
Johnny, just to let you know, Johnny, Stephen Bradley is very much on your side. I just see his interview popping up here in front of me, and he has said the quote on it is, Ed should save it and the game should be over. So he's in your corner. Maybe there was no deflection, maybe the keeper just lost the swerve of the ball, maybe.
I think it looked like it took a nick, lads, just looking at it back there. It looked like it deflected off the knee of, I can't make it out who it is that's running out to the ball. I don't know. I think that's a bit harsh if it has taken a nick.
Yeah, not what you want to be hearing from your manager, I suppose. But John, fair play for jumping on. Thanks a million.
Appreciate it, lads. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Talk to you again. Just before we get Anthony in, Ben, which game had you your eyes on most yourself?
I was watching Pats tonight, Shane. I was at Richmond on Sunday. And to be honest, I kind of thought that Pats, like, the quality showed through in the end, in the extra time. And obviously, the man less for Galway helped it as well. But throughout the 90, Galway outworked them on Sunday. And you're kind of going into this game going, right, they know each other now, inside out, after playing a week ago. And Galway would have had a bit of kind of spark and wanting revenge as well. Like, obviously, Chris Forrester in extra time last week, he was taking the mick out of the Galway defenders, and you're kind of thinking, geez, if you need any more motivation to get fired up and get a result, having already kind of wanted it more on Sunday. And I kind of thought it was a bit of the same today, although Pat squandered so many chances. Keane Levy, like I've said it before, if Keane Levy's end product was a little bit better, like, he'd be playing at a top level of football. Like, his dribbling skills, he'd won today where he kind of slalomed through the defence. And he was one-on-one with Brendan Clark. And all he had to do was side-foot a pass him into the corner. He tries to go back across and Brendan Clark saves it. But on Brendan Clark, what a game. Like, 40 years of age. Johnny, like, you'll be able to tell us yourself. It was some performance from him out there.
He was unreal. Like, he didn't... This season he's kind of been... he hasn't had his place all through with Watts doing quite well. Like, but he was just inspired tonight. Like, and I think the from my perspective, I think he made two brilliant, brilliant saves. One was that one from Levy where it kind of came at him quickly and he palmed it over with his left hand, real instinctive. But I thought he was phenomenal for, like, Mason Melia got this chance. He just has to score, really, after about half of the first half. Gary Buckley played a ball, basically kicked the ball down the pitch. But the Pats, whatever Pats player met the ball, he hit it straight back. And Gary Buckley was... Joe Redmond. So Gary Buckley was thus effectively keeping everyone on side, which was Mason Melia. Mason Melia is true. He's all the time in the world. Like, he should score. But Brendan Clark, like, all his experience was absolutely brilliant. And, like, basically that point tonight is primarily down to Brendan Clark. Like, David Hurley was outstanding again when he came on. But I think when you need, like, I've said this, I think in John Caulfield's career as a manager, Brendan Clark for Galway United was one of his best signings at a time when things were at a low ebb. He really was just so solid and an organising defence as well. And just that bit of experience, like, it's, I actually don't think you can put a price on experience, particularly with kind of a new back four. But
I think it was huge as well after the free kick on Sunday night. Like, he kind of came under a little bit of criticism. And I know Forrester was kind of giving a little bit of words across to him after it went in. For that to happen on Sunday night and then to show up today, like you said, I thought the Melia save was unbelievable. Like, when Melia was going through, I was going, oh, this is it now. He put them ahead. I couldn't believe it.
I think that's experience, like, and that's absolute experience. Like, you kind of sizes up what Melia's going to do. Two players at opposite ends of their career, I don't think they'll mind me saying, but the one on Sunday, I think he feels that if he saw it, he'd save it, but at that stage, they're down to 10 men as well, and maybe it was immaterial, but I felt like if Chris Forrester gets that over the wall, he kind of scores, but I think Brendan Clark was unsighted as well, so it was immaterial tonight.
I'd even give him credit, lads. The other one I'd give him credit for, same two players again, was the driving run from Keane Levy, where he puts Melia in behind, and Clarkie does enough to force Melia wide enough that Gary Whitley is able to get back onto the run.
Yeah, that was very good.
I think he deserves credit for that, and being the numbers geek that I am, I did have to throw up a tweet pointing out the fact that the two star players for Pats, Keane Levy and Mason Melia, combined their ages together and you have Brendan Clark's age. So well done to Brendan Clark.
I honestly think the more I watch Levy...
You're gone at me, Johnny. Can you hear me?
You're just gone at me.
His end product and all of that is... Yeah. His end product can be frustrating and all of that, but like as you say, Shane, he's young, and like I spoke to him after the game on Sunday. I was really impressed with just the enthusiasm, and he played on Sunday despite the fact that he'd kind of had a head cold over the last couple of days, and he was very good. But I think he looks like he's something quite different, and that's there in the league. Like, sometimes his end product's not great, but he loves the ball at his feet, like absolutely loves the ball at his feet.
Johnny, one last thing on that game, Anthony, I promise I am coming to you. One last thing on that game. So explain to me, why was David Hurley a sub?
Yeah, I couldn't make head nor tail of that. Like, I'd say, so he brought in Pysold in midfield, who, you know, it was tough on Jeremy Civi. He got the kiss of death from me because I put him as the one to watch in the LOI Central podcast during the week, and he was taken off after half an hour, and he was very gutted about that. But Pysold, like, barely featured at all in the game, and Hurley's performance on Sunday was the best I've ever seen him play for Galway United. So I would imagine there's some sort of fitness edge that they thought that three games in the space of just over 8 days with the game Monday was going to be too much, but then they decided on at halftime, we actually need him here, and he was brilliant again tonight. He made a crazy decision with that late challenge, but it was definitely a gamble, like, you know. But I'm not there day to day, so I don't know what they see in terms of his fitness at the moment, but like, he was clearly not dropped because of form.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Anthony, thank you very much for staying patient. I suppose it's a lot easier to be patient when you're in good form, and you are in good form tonight. Talk to us about that performance.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. I know there's no problem waiting. Yeah, like, I don't know. It wasn't one for the ages anyway. I thought Waterford were, and I know I always give the opposition team as much credit as I can, but Waterford were probably worth at least a draw there today. That being said, I don't think that goal went over the line. Just judging by Dawson Devoy's reaction as he clears it. Look, yeah, it's one of them where, you know, it's nearly cup final stuff. If you get the result, it puts with everybody else playing each other more or less, it kind of puts the daylight. It gives you that little bit of daylight again. It wasn't vintage. I thought Keane Bourne centre half for Bowes was excellent. He was dropped for the Derry game last week, and something similar to Hurley for Galway last week. Like, you're going, what the hell happened here? Because he was brilliant in the Lillall draw in Sligo the week before, and he was excellent tonight. Like, I know we've talked at length about Sean Gannon being missing, and Academe, the new signing from Cambridge, came in tonight and replaced Cornwall. He was excellent in there as well. So the two boys playing centre half are very good for Bowes tonight.
He's turning into a fine player. I know he had a very strong second half of the season for Galway last year as well, Johnny, didn't he? He really is looking to find out. I hadn't thought that he was left out last week, Anthony, to be honest with you. That does surprise me, but good to hear he was back at his best. He's turning into a fine player.
Yeah, just composure on the ball. And even Waterford brought on three or four players that they weren't going to ring fence the ball up quick and early to the guys. And he stepped in. He was small when he needed to be small, good off his feet. He swept up a lot of stuff. He never once cleared the ball to nobody. He was a 10 out of 10 today for me. But just going back to the bigger picture, I suppose, like, during the week we got a little bit of League of Ireland pod, and this morning Barry was on with the lads and like, there's people saying Bowes are heading for fifth place this year. Now, Bowes have five games left. I think if they get 5 points out of them five games, they're probably looking at finishing at least third. Like, there's the same distance between Rovers and Bowes now than there is between Shells, Drogheda, Pats and Derry and Bowes. So the 7 points, so the 14 point gap between sixth and first, but Derry and Bowes are sitting in the middle there. Now, I know we play Rovers next, and then I think we go down to Galway. We play Pats at home, Galway away, and Shells at home. So I don't know, like, it's very much in Bowes' hands, even though they weren't great tonight. And we could easily be standing here going, yeah, another poor result for Bowes. But again, we're still beyond where we should be in terms of where we were at the start of the season. So I would have snapped your hand off after 8 games into the season to be in this position. Even 7 points, we beat Rovers next week, which we're capable of. We're 4 points behind Rovers with 4 games to go. Like, you're not going to win the league, but that's not bad going. And I know there was a couple of Bowes fans weren't happy with Alan Reynolds getting a new contract, but it makes absolute sense when you look at it like that. And you're going, let's look at an 18-month kind of look ahead. Let's tie lads down. Let's get a little bit of kind of composure around the club and with the players that we have, let's make bigger strides. So I think it's all positive for me from the wider picture perspective this week.
Yeah. Do you have any worries? Sorry, Shane. Do you have any worries, Anthony, about kind of looking behind you? Shales do have 2 games in hand, and obviously, if you look at the fixtures you have coming up, you do have to play them. You play Drogheda.
I suppose, Ben, everybody has to play each other. And Barry touched on the very same thing you touched on it last week. So Drogheda are playing Shales on Monday night, when we don't have to play, so we already have the points in the bag. So one of them two teams, as far as I'm concerned, by the end of Monday, are nearly too far away from catching Derry and Bowes. And then Bowes go into a game against Rovers and a game against, like, it's all in their hands. So they have to play Shells at home. Well, Shells don't have a great track record in Daly Mounts. I think they've won once there in the last, since they've come back up from the first division. So it's still all in Bowes' hands. And if you play Pats in Daly Mount again, so everybody else is stretching, everybody else is 7 points behind with games in hand. Shells with our game in hand is Rovers away, which nobody knows, like Shane Kennedy said there, nobody knows when that's going to be refixed, which I think the league need to sit down and start fixing the games, because that's a little bit unfair that two clubs can decide that they're going to call a game off and nobody knows when it's going to be fixed. We'll wait and see if we win the league before we'll tell you when we're going to play the game. So that needs to be sorted out for all sorts of professional reasons in terms of the league.
Well, I think Shells in general are going to have a pretty tricky fixture schedule. I'm just looking at it here. That game in Daly Mount is scheduled for the 24th, and Shells are away.
It's going to be the Sunday, isn't it?
Shells are away in North Macedonia on Thursday, so that's a huge turnaround for Shells to come back and try and get 3 points in Daly Mount.
This is what happens when you go into Europe. But yeah, look, to be honest, that's what I'm saying. If Bowes were to finish fifth now, like just say for argument's sake, we're looking at top four for Europe, with the way the cup is going. If Bowes were to finish fifth, it'd be an almighty disaster from here on, I would have thought, after tonight's result.
I assume Rafi, obviously you were saying it wasn't the best of performances. I'm assuming his loss was greatly felt.
Say that again, Shane, sorry.
Ross Tierney, you were out Ross Tierney tonight, were you?
Yeah. So this is an interesting one for me, Shane, because for me, and look, we all love Ross. He's brilliant and he's the catalyst for most things, and he was missed his legs in midfield, his space that he creates all over the place is brilliant. But for me, I'd like to see Ross where his first spell at the club, where he's in behind a Georgie Kelly and he's kind of in that kind of false nine role where he can dictate. So I just wondered how they were going to get on today, to play kind of a flat three where McDonald was sitting in with Meekison and the void was a little bit deeper. So it was kind of a different dynamic this week. Yeah, probably didn't. Obviously, someone like Ross Tierney is going to be a huge loss, and yeah, it kind of was that kind of way we could have done with him tonight, to be honest. Yeah.
Was it suspension?
No, he was injured. Was carrying a knock. Yeah.
Oh. Carrying a knock. Okay.
And that's another one as well. Like, John Mountain, he's been missing for the last couple of weeks, and we're just looking for strength and someone to put their foot on the ball. The last two games against Derry last week, but he was on the bench tonight. I think he had a groin strain, so he'll be a huge addition. Like Meekitz was, he got the winner today. He's been injured for a whole round of fixtures, so we're kind of getting players back that will come in and obviously one more shout out goes to Jordan Flores. Thought he was excellent again tonight, and same last week against Derry.
He's having a very impressive season for you, isn't he?
Very, very impressive. Very, very impressive. And do you know what I like about him? You can see the standards. Parsons in the first half today gave the ball away two or three times. He didn't give them a platform to build from, and you could see Flores was getting in at him and getting the levels that he knows that's required to get us over the line, and that's good. And Rooney was left on the bench tonight, and he brought him on for Parsons at halftime. And again, it's a luxury, because Rooney for the first 7 or 8 minutes after halftime gave Waterford an awful lot of problems, because where they could go tight with Parsons, they were afraid to do that with Rooney, and they dropped off, so Rooney was able to get the ball moving quicker. So it just shows the strength and depth they have that could get them to Europe this year. That's my kind of outlook on tonight.
Fair play, Anthony. Listen, fair play for jumping on. Thanks very much.
No bother, lads. Fair play.
Talk to you again, I'm sure. Yeah, Ben, I suppose just to I'd like to wander on to the first division for a bit of a quick chat. Couple of people who definitely deserve a mention from the first division tonight. Mikey Rowe, who I would have had during my time as Cove Ramblers manager, scored a hat-trick against his old club tonight. One was a penalty, got an early one with a really good finish. Dodgy looking call now on the offside, I have to say, but ran through and finished it brilliantly. Got a penalty for his second, and then a brilliant diving header to win it, because they had been 2-1 down in that game. So well done to Mikey. I mean, he is having an outstanding season in the first division. I would say that probably takes him clear as top scorer in division. I'm frantically hitting buttons here in my app.
He's level with Barry Coffey, I have it as here.
Is he level with, yeah, Barry Coffey has a lot 21. Scored in fairness, all right, yeah. So that would make sense, so it would. And then another player who I've raved about a few times here on Late Night League of Ireland, young fella Billy O'Neill at Bray Wanderers. We do have a Seagull chat from Bray, does be on with us quite regularly. Billy is a fella that I saw as a young player and thought was brilliant, and he's really flourishing into the star of that team this year. So Billy, I believe, got one goal and both assists for Bray tonight in a big result for them at home to beating Hearts. Now, look, let's be honest, Dundalk probably have it done and dusted in terms of wrapping up that division. And there's not a probably not a whole pile of difference in whether Bray catch Cove or don't catch Cove. They're likely to play UCD and Treaty one way or another. In fact, just as I say it, I must have prompted them because here is Seagull chat coming on. So I better let him in. I hope he's not going to make a liar of me now and tell me that Billy O'Neill was absolutely freaking useless tonight. Seagull chat, how are you?
Billy O'Neill was absolutely not fucking useless tonight.
good.
You said he didn't. It was two penalties. He got both of them. I mean, the first one was unreal from him. He chases a ball that's going dead, gets it wrong, completely wrong foots. I'm not sure which Harps player was, but completely wrong foots and gets to the edge of the box and goes down. It was wins the foul and it was unbelievable. And then he won the second one as well, but that was just a stupid challenge. But he, I don't know if you've seen it, but he got his level at 1-1 with an incredible free kick. No, he's brilliant. But listen, for me, the player, well, one of the players of tonight, both, aside from him, Alan Kizenga as well, was incredible. He's Billy's Ireland under 19 teammate. He's had almost no game time until the last couple of weeks, and he's been by a mile our best defender. He goes right up the wing. He is absolutely fantastic for his age as well.
Yeah, I have to say he's not one I've heard or I've seen. I've just clicked on his profile here and I see, it's amazing actually. He goes from, as you say, featuring very little to pretty much playing 90 minutes in every game. He's obviously impressed when his opportunity has come up.
Yeah, and the only reason he really came off today is because he's gotten probably one too many knocks to the head for it to be comfortable. But no, absolutely. He played maybe one or two games in the first half of the season and he impressed big time. Just the way it was. And he's been out for here and there because he's been called up to the under-19s. He's the best player on Bray's under-19 squad now. By far, because Billy doesn't play for them, and he's not really playing for Bray's under-19 squad either. But listen, it's a testament to how quickly the Bray Academy has been invested in. To the fact that we've got two under-19 players who are now not only getting game time for Ireland, but also consistently playing first team football in the league and being the two best players.
Yeah, I would have done some of my coaching badges earlier in my time with John McShane. It is John is overseeing the academy in there, I think, Richie, isn't he?
He is, yes.
Yeah, no, John's a brilliant fella, and things are obviously going well at underage there, that you are producing a lot of guys who seem capable of coming into the first team.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, before for the past 15, 20 years, the entire about 80% of the underage system was just the partnership with Joey's, St. Joseph's Boys, which, listen, they're a fantastic club and they've produced a lot of players, but it was essentially one schoolboy team backing up, providing the facilities and set up for the club. Whereas now there's a huge amount of teams, both in South Dublin, but especially across Wicklow now, and there's a proper scouting network across it to bring the best of the best from across the county and east Dublin into the underage setup. And it's already paying off. And again, credit to Paul Heffernan as well, because he's been very keen to play underage players sooner than most people would think they would. You know, he played Cristiano Bramley tonight, who's another highly rated young prospect as well. And he played him, I think he got to play 20, 25 minutes, and he's been consistently coming on as well. So now again,
sorry, Seagull, for coming in. I've had a nightmare here. But just on that point, I love to see that. I think the League of Ireland, as the league that it is, needs to be a league where players, young players, are getting game time. Like, and we see a lot of big clubs where they're just too big, and then they might get loaned out, or they might, you know, play for the 19s. But like, I love to see that, where you've, like, I think that's vital for fan engagement, and it's vital for the unique kind of selling points of the league as well, that you have young players getting their game time, like to see Mason Melia week in, week out.
Yeah, no, I'd agree 100%. Seagull, it's looking highly, highly probable that you've got a playoff semi-final against UCD. How confident would you feel heading into that?
I mean, listen, when you look at it, I mean, people, for a long time, people are saying the big three in the first division were Dundalk, Cove and Bray. When you look at the table now, UCD are only, I think, 6 points behind us, and three of those were knocked off, I think, because of nonsense. So, I mean, and of course they handily beat us twice. Well, not handily the second time, but listen, it's hard, because Bray have a long tradition of having their hearts broken by UCD in playoffs and in cup competition. So we won't take anything for granted. It will be absolutely probably the closer and the more nail biting of the two fixtures. And the games from now until the end of the season are as dead rubber as they can be, because again, UCD Bowl and the Carlisle are stone's throw away from each other. So it really doesn't matter who finishes second and who finishes third. So, and obviously we'd love the second leg to be in the Carlisle, but it's hardly high stakes stuff. But you know, it'll be, and I mean, you'd assume we'd meet Cove in the playoff final, or the final before the final. But I mean, like, tonight they folded completely against Wexford, who aren't exactly doing particularly well. I mean, if they have to play Treaty, then they'll breeze by them. But you know, I think if Wexford or Harps end up playing Cove in the first round of the playoffs, then that'll absolutely be a competitive fixture as well.
Yeah, so psychologically as well, though, lads, it's always a hard one to handle. Like, you're going into a game, like, if the season finished now, you'd have Cove going into a game against Treaty, where essentially they're both on an equal footing, despite the fact that Cove have finished 22 points ahead of them. And it's almost like all the psychological pressure is on you then, and that can be.
I totally agree, Shane. I've always felt that with the system in Britain as well, where in England, where I've always thought like six have a massive psychological advantage over three. And in fairness, the playoff system, it has flaws, and you can obviously see why it's there. But like, I think psychologically, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I saw it with you actually one year, Johnny. A couple of years after I was gone, I travelled back across to watch you in a playoff semi final where you'd finished second and Longford had finished fifth, and you'd finished like numerous points ahead of Longford, and they feckin' bet you, I think, didn't they? Was it Longford or was it Bray? Actually, I'm trying to think. No, it was Cavanagh. Kavanagh,
yeah, Brandon Kavanagh got an absolute worldly in Terryland, and Gary Cronin did a kind of a job on us that night. Yeah, when you're kind of feeling a bit down about not getting there, and we were in a close battle with Shells that year, and then you know Bray came, and it really knocks the stuffing out of your season as well when that happens.
Yeah, it can do. Yeah.
And I will say the way the timing falls of it as well. I mean, we were the reason, but last year when we were on a high, no one expected us to get to the final promotion relegation playoff match against Drogheda, but we did. But because Drogheda were in the FAI Cup final, we had to sit and, you know, twiddle our thumbs for 2 weeks while they were in the Aviva, and then they came with all the momentum to the final. So in some cases, I can actually see that there's more, that having the momentum of getting through the couple of fixtures and then getting to the promotion relegation final could actually be helpful for the team, because whatever it is, they have to schedule it so that one team isn't sat on their hands for 2 or 3 weeks before the game, and then the other team has been playing high stakes game more recently. Because I mean, when you look at the fact, you know, Bray losing to Drogheda was the first time in a while, that in several years, that the team from the first division didn't beat the team in the Premier Division. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that's the one year that the team in the first division was the one who had a big wait time between their last game and then that game, while the other, while the Premier Division team was able to go in essentially in league form.
Good point. Seagull, fair play for jumping on.
Yeah, cheers, lads. I'll probably talk to you again last week before the playoffs.
Brilliant. Look forward to it. Guys, we'll wrap it up there. So just to, as we've hinted or spoken about once or twice there is a round of fixtures on this Monday evening. So just briefly to give an overview of them, Drogheda at home to Shelburne, Galway United at home to Sligo Rovers in an absolutely massive West of Ireland game. St. Patrick's Athletic at home to Cork City and Waterford United at home to Shamrock Rovers. While in the first division, we've got Athlone Town at home to Kerry and Finn Harps at home to Wexford. I cannot thank those who stuck with us through all the gremlins enough. Fair play to you. Serious dedication there. Ben, I hope you enjoyed that. Great to have you on. And I think you're going to be a permanent fixture from now to the end of the season, all going well.
That'd be it, yeah. It'll be a bit of a race trying to get manager interviews done and then get back on, but that's the plan now for the rest of the season.
I'm sure you'll manage a stellar debut. Johnny, a pleasure as always.
Thanks, Shane. Yeah, really looking forward to that game on Monday now. It just has a lot riding for it, and it's going to be a cracker.
That's for sure. Folks, thank you very much. Good night.
League of Ireland Football.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.